Johnny Dollar.
This is Mr. Ernest L. Whiteman, Providential Assurance Company.
Providential Assurance?
That's right. You've heard of us, of course.
No, sir, I can't say that I have, but what's on your mind, Mr. Whiteman?
Embezzlement.
Don't try it.
What?
Why would you get yourself into a lot of trouble?
I beg your pardon.
I'm sorry, I was just trying to make it funny.
Oh, yes, yes. Well, now, if you'd care to look into this for us...
Sure, why not?
Then I suggest you come here to my office and I shall give you the details.
I take it there's a fee here in addition to my expenses?
If you recover the money, something over $200,000, you can practically name your own fee.
Great.
That is, up to, say, $5,000.
On a $200,000 loss?
That's right.
Oh, well, then maybe I'd better figure on padding out my expense account.
Now, just a minute,
sir. Oh, stop worrying, Mr. Whiteman.
But if you have any intention of
holding us up... Just keep your shirt on. I'll be over to see you.
CBS Radio brings you Bob Bailey in the exciting adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account. America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Best-selling records. Here's a familiar tune about America's best-selling filter cigarette, Winston. Winston gives you real flavor, full, rich tobacco flavor. And you know, that's because only Winston has filter blend up front. Choice, flavorful tobaccos, specially selected and specially processed for filter smoking. No wonder Winston tastes good. Like a cigarette should. Smoke Winston.
And now, Act One of yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to the Providential Assurance Company, Hartford, Connecticut. Now, at this point, I don't know if it's the home office or not. Anyhow, following is an account of expenses incurred during my investigation of the Hand of Providential matter. For some reason or other, dealing with a new company usually spells trouble for me. But expense account item one, $1.25 for a taxi to the offices of Providential down in the square. When I say offices, I mean exactly two with a connecting door.
I'm very glad to see you, Mr. Dollar. I'm Ernest L. Whiteman.
Mr. Whiteman?
And this gentleman, Mr. Dollar...
I'm the man that had Ernie Whiteman send for you.
Yes, this is...
Name is Elwood Sprague, Dollar. I'm the owner of this business.
The sole owner, Mr. Sprague?
That's right, son. Providential Assurance is all mine, lock, stock, and barrel. Oh,
I see.
Made a lot of money in oil down in Texas. Couldn't find any way to spend it all, so I started this here. So what happens? All I get is more money out of it.
Yeah, well, Mr. Whiteman said something over the phone about an embezzlement.
Exactly. $200,000 that was taken
ahead.
From...
Go ahead and tell them all about it, my boy. Tell them how it happened.
Well, you see, Mr. Dollar, immediate public acceptance of our company is largely due to the
what
fact...
What he means, Dollar, is the reason we sell so many policies is on account of... We always pay off any claims real prompt in cash, in hard, cold cash.
Exactly. And for that reason,
never
we...
Never question a claim. Just pay it off in cash. That's what we promise, and that's what we do.
And for that reason, Mr. Dollar...
That's why so many people who can't afford much insurance come to us.
Yes, but as a result...
So what happens? Instead of a nice tax loss, there ain't enough claims to fill your hat. All we make is profit.
You mean you've hoped to lose money in this business?
Tax loss, Mr. Dollar. You ever have to pay the taxes on profits from a couple of hundred producing oil wells?
Hardly. But now, Mr. Whiteman, about this embezzlement.
Yeah, as I started to say, paying off in cash as
we
do...
That's right. Means keeping a lot of cash on hand.
Oh? Then this embezzlement was of your own money?
Exactly. The money was stolen from us.
You kept that kind of money here in a safe or something?
Well, wouldn't keep it laying around on the floor, would you?
Well, have you any idea who might have taken it?
We most certainly have.
Sure. It was Hauser. Tom Hauser. The only one beside Whitey had the combination to the safe.
He also kept the books, Mr. Dollar.
Well, didn't you check his books periodically?
Oh, of course I did. But when I discovered the loss this morning, I also discovered he'd been juggling the accounts.
Well, how long ago did this Tom Hauser work here?
Up until yesterday.
As I told Mr. Sprague, I informed Hauser last night that I planned to check the cash as well as the books this morning.
So what happens? This morning he's gone, and so is the money. Well, Dollar...
When you ask me, this sounds like the most loosely run insurance company.
Mr. Dollar.
How you ever managed to get a license from the insurance commission?
Well, now, that license is something we ain't bothered with yet.
You what?
You gotta make sure we got a business first, don't we?
Are you kidding? Do you realize what the commission will do when they find out about this?
Don't give it a thought, son.
To say nothing of the police?
Your job is to catch that Tom Hauser.
Now, look here, Mr. Sprague.
Then, if the insurance commission or the government or anybody says we're doing wrong...
And you can bet they will.
Why, then, I'll pay up and get out of this business.
Believe me, it'll cost you a lot more than this $200,000.
Well, sure, maybe a couple million. It'll make a nice tax loss.
Yeah, and you'll probably end up in jail.
Well, now, you let me worry about that. Your job is to get this embezzler. And don't forget, we're paying you $5,000 to do it.
Look, you say it may cost you millions to get out of this mess.
That's right.
And yet you're worried about a couple of hundred thousand?
Well, now, that's different.
Huh?
That was stolen, son. That was illegal.
Trying to make sense with this man was like trying to reason with a hitching post. I told him I didn't want the case and that I could understand why he'd hesitate about calling in the police. Sure, they'd probably start asking questions. With the only answers he could give them, he'd really be in trouble. I told him that my only duty, as far as I could see, was to notify the commission of this whole operation.
Sure, son. If your conscience hurts you, go ahead. Notify them. After you got this money back first.
After?
Well, I don't know much about investigation, but it seems to me that with him gone only a few hours, well, if I was you, I wouldn't be wasting any time.
Yeah, you got a point there.
Sure, sure. And don't you forget that $5,000 that's waiting for you.
Well, I ask you, what would you have done? And with a fee of $5,000 dangling in front of your eyes. Yeah, that's what I did. I took the case.
Two of yours truly, Johnny Dollar, in a moment.
Higginbotham here. We will now commence our lesson in stereophonic reproduction. Listen to the call of the spotted bill snicker on ordinary stereo. Now then, on a Columbia Stereo One phonograph. Obvious difference, what? The Columbia stereophonic system really causes all others to blush. For it is not composed of just a few separated speakers. Columbia is the originator and exclusive purveyor of stereo projection. Only Columbia fills every inch of a room with real, lifelike sound. Now, when I was birdwatching with the Duchess of... But let that pass. You simply must hear the Stereo One phonograph by Columbia. Ask your Columbia phonograph dealer for a demonstration. And, chaps, portables are priced as low as $39.95. Consoles commence at $129.95. Blast that bird.
And now, Act Two of yours truly, Johnny Dollar and the Hand of Providential Matter.
Hoping the insurance commission wouldn't hang me if they ever found out I'd taken an assignment from this outfit, I decided to check the last known whereabouts of the embezzler, the bookkeeper who'd stolen some $200,000 from them. After getting his description and his address from Mr. Sprague, I spent item two, $1.85, for a taxi to a dingy rooming house on the north side of town. At the front door, I was met by a frowsy old maid wearing a rather slovenly blue housecoat. She looked like she'd just gotten out of bed, and her stringy black hair was up in paper curlers.
Special investigator, huh?
That's right. Here, my credentials.
Johnny Dollar, freelance. Well, Mr. Tom Hauser ain't here right now.
I know. Have you any idea where he might be?
I seen him leaving bag and baggage late last night. Guess he's gone on a trip somewheres. I was sitting by the front window having a can of beer before I went to bed, and I seen him get in his car and drive off.
Yeah, well, just let me have the key to his room.
Are you sure that's all right unless you got some kind of a warrant?
Yeah, I'm sure. The key, please.
Well, Ain't had a chance to clean his room up yet today.
Don't do it. Don't touch a thing of his until I tell you to.
Oh, well, now look, dearie.
Just let me have the key. And here. Here's a five spot for your trouble.
Oh. Well, now, you're what I'd call a real gent. And here's the key. It's the first apartment on the right, top of the stairs.
Yeah, thanks.
Is something wrong, Mr. Dollar? Did Miss Hauser do something he oughtn't have done?
What do you mean? What are you talking about? Hey, I had to come back here, pick up my stuff.
So he isn't here.
Yeah, don't worry about the split. I'll meet you like I said. Yeah, then we'll take care of it. All right. I'm leaving it right away. Neither Johnny Dollar or anybody else will ever... Hey, what? Well, if he does, I'll be ready for him.
Uh-huh.
So come on now, hang up. Let me get out of here. Stop worrying, pal. I can take care of him and anybody else.
Quietly as possible, I slipped the key into the door. I had some difficulty turning it, but finally heard the lock slip. Then I started slowly turning the knob. And then, well, I'm not quite sure exactly what did happen, except the door was suddenly pulled open so quickly that...
Okay, baby! Oh! Hey, you want some more? What's the idea of hanging around outside? Wait a minute. You must be Dollar. Yeah, Johnny Dollar. Then, baby, I'm going to make sure you never get up again. No!
Leave that wet rag laying there on your forehead. It'll make you feel better.
What?
Oh,
holy...
Yeah. Huh. You just stay there on the floor until you feel better.
Where'd he go?
Oh, dearie. Who done this to you?
You didn't... Didn't you see him?
I heard a big noise up here, and when I run up the stairs, he must have heard me and run away. You was just laying here bleeding this way.
That window. What's outside that window?
Only the fire escape. But look, dearie.
Yeah.
Busted table lamp. This must have been what...
Don't touch it.
What?
No, I'll wrap it in my handkerchief and...
But who could have come here and done this to you? I can't imagine.
Well, I can. Tom Hauser. Item 3, $1.20 for a cab to police headquarters. Anybody but Sergeant Ed Wilson would have asked a lot of questions that I didn't feel like answering. Ed simply took the lamp, told one of the boys in the lab to check, and if he found any prints on it, to classify them, then send a teletype to Washington. Item 4, $1 even for a cab to my apartment. After a long, cool shower, I felt somewhat better. I just got back into my clothes when the phone rang. Johnny Dollar.
Ed Wilson, Johnny. Those prints on that lamp.
Yeah, Ed.
Thomas Harker, alias Tim Hosker, alias Tommy Hauser, alias just about everything else you can think of. Johnny, that boy is one of the 10 most wanted.
No kidding.
And for everything from safe-cracking to murder. You got any kind of a lead on him?
Only that rooming house where he slugged me.
Then he may be 100 miles away by now.
I wouldn't bank on it. So, Ed...
Yeah?
You'd better put out that good old dragnet.
Oh, don't worry, Johnny. But listen, just remember one thing about him.
Like what?
If that boy thinks you recognize
him... I didn't even get a look at him.
Maybe he doesn't know that. And if he finds out he didn't kill you, Johnny...
Well?
He'll be back to finish the job.
Act 3 of yours truly, Johnny Dollar, in a moment. Here's Hollywood star Mona Freeman.
Who feels like acting with a miserable cold? I relieve cold distress the fast way with four-way cold tablets.
Yes, tests of all the leading cold tablets proved four-way fastest acting. Amazing four-way starts in minutes to relieve muscular pains and headache, reduce fever, calm upset stomach, also overcomes irregularity.
When a cold strikes, do what I do. Take four-way cold tablets. It's the fast way to relieve nasty cold distress and feel better quickly.
Four-way, only 29 cents.
Now, here's a word about another fine product of Grove Laboratories. Does dandruff dull your hair, leave scalp itchy? Get Fitch Dandruff Remover Shampoo and get rid of unsightly dandruff in 3 minutes. 3 minutes with Fitch regularly is guaranteed to keep embarrassing dandruff away forever. Apply Fitch before wetting hair, rub in 1 minute. Add water, lather 1 minute. Rinse 1 minute. Every trace of dandruff goes down the drain. 3 minutes with Fitch, unsightly dandruff's gone. Fitch can also leave your hair up to 35% brighter. Fitch Dandruff Remover Shampoo. And now, Act 3 of yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Yeah, Ed.
Ed? This is Pat McCracken, Johnny, at Universal Adjustment Bureau.
Oh, sorry, Pat. I thought it was Ed Wilson again.
Sergeant Wilson of police headquarters?
Yeah, and listen, I'm in kind of a hurry.
Oh, then I won't hold you. I was just hoping you'd have time to look into what appears to be a phony insurance company for us.
What? Keep talking.
But if you're already working on a...
No, just go on with what you were saying, Pat.
Well, we got a complaint about some new company here in town that we'd never heard of. Seems they're stalling on the payment of a small claim.
Yeah, sure. In spite of their pledge to pay off promptly and without question.
Yeah.
Also to pay off in cold cash.
Yes, that's right.
Providential Assurance Company.
Well, what do you know about them? Johnny?
I'm working on a case for them.
Oh, no. Oh, Johnny, don't. I telephoned the commission, you know, to find out who they are.
Yeah,
where
the
they
commission
are.
Never heard of them.
Exactly. So if I were you, until we can find out whether they're a legitimate outfit, Johnny, I wouldn't touch them.
Hey, tell me, Pat, what'll the commission do?
Well, they've notified them by mail. They're sending over a committee to investigate, to look at the books and so on.
When?
First of the week, Monday or Tuesday. Why?
Maybe too late.
What?
If that outfit's what I think it is, and if I can do what I think I can...
Johnny...
Well, if I can't collect my fee and expenses from them, maybe I'll send a bill on to you.
What?
After all, I may be doing the whole insurance business a great and glorious service.
Johnny, what are you talking about?
That is, if I don't get killed first.
Listen, Johnny...
I'll see you later. Now the question is... But wait a minute. If Providential is what I think it is, where does Tommy House's theft of $200,000 come in? If he was working for them. Now, why did they call me in? Johnny Dollar. Hello?
This here is Elwood Sprague.
Oh, yeah, Mr. Sprague.
I wasn't sure I'd find you in.
Yeah, I think I can understand that. Or maybe you weren't sure you'd find me around at all anymore.
No, listen, don't get me wrong, Dollar. I want to see you. I got to see you right now.
Yeah, why not? They're at your office?
No.
Well?
My room, here at Guilford, and you'll come home.
Are you alone, Mr. Sprague?
Yes, Mr. Dollar. Will you come right away?
Yeah, as soon as I can.
Thank you.
That's funny. If he wants to see me, if he is alone, or is this some kind of a trap? No, there was absolute sincerity in his voice. I was sure of it. Yeah, and there was something else, too. Fear. Maybe that was it, fear. Hello?
Johnny, listen, you said you'd been working with the police.
So?
Well, I knew I'd never get anything out of you, so I called them. Listen, if this Elwood Sprague of Providential has anything to do with the beating you took, has he?
Pat, I'm on my way over to see Sprague right now.
Well, I tried calling Providential. He isn't there.
I know.
But if he and that gangster, that Tommy Holland...
Sorry, Pat, he's waiting for me over at the Guilford.
Johnny!
There was no time to waste. Maybe Hauser was still gunning for me, but if so, well, maybe I wasn't the only one. Item 5, a couple of bucks for a cab to the Guilford Hotel. And there in his room, I found a very different Elwood Sprague than I'd talked to earlier. And the story that he slowly, nervously unfolded proved to be very interesting.
So maybe I didn't ever make no oil fortune there in Texas. It ain't so easy down there as you might think. But I learned to use my wits and my brains to get along by outsmarting the next man. You see what I mean, Mr. Dollar?
Then those 200 oil wells you were talking about...
Well, it made a good line. It fooled you, didn't it? It even fooled Ernie Whiteman for a while. That's what gave him the idea.
The idea for what, Mr. Sprague?
Well, me to front for this insurance racket. You know, collect a lot of premiums and then we'd skip town.
Right in the heart of the insurance industry?
Always harder to pick out a bad apple in the barrel for, ain't it?
Oh, brother. So what happened?
That Ernie's a salesman, Johnny. When he got started on the country people around here, the money come rolling in. And when somebody made a claim, we stalled him on it.
How long did you think you could get away with this?
Until the commission got wise to us, then we'd move out.
The commission was planning to investigate you next week.
I know. Only by that time, we'd be out of here.
You and Wyvern and this Tommy Hauser.
Hauser. Ernie brought him in. He said because he had a record, the police would know about him, so he would take the rap if anything went wrong. But then he walks out with all the money last night.
And then you sent for me. Why?
Because Ernie and me go after Hauser. He might have killed us. Ernie didn't want to send for you, but I made him. I held a gun on him.
Oh, real nice people.
Because maybe Hauser didn't know you. Maybe you could nab him and get the money for us. So what if you did get wise to us? What if we should have to cut you in to keep you from blabbing to
Why,
the law?
You rotten... Do you think everybody in this world is a crook?
Well, at least it was better than leaving Hauser get away with all of it.
It looks to me like he has so far.
Well, Johnny, now listen.
Oh, I'm listening.
Now, Ernie didn't know it. But I heard him on the phone. He was talking to Hauser. He was double-crossing me. They're meeting somewhere to split the money.
Yeah, well, what else could you expect?
Now, listen, Johnny. Then they're coming over here to kill me so that I can't talk, you see. That's when I phoned you to come over here.
And you think for 1 minute I'm going to stick my neck out to save that lousy hide of yours?
Well, you got to, Johnny. You got to.
All I got to do is turn you over to the police.
The police?
Or would you rather just sit here and wait for Hauser and Whiteman? Well?
Oh, all right, Johnny.
All right, come on. At least it may keep you from getting shot, which is better than you deserve it. Well?
Ernie.
Back inside, please. Ernie, both of you.
That gun.
That's right. The one that killed Hauser when he tried to hold out on me. The one that's going to kill you, Elwood, for what I heard just now through this door.
Oh, no, Ernie, please. Johnny.
And of course, that means you'll have to go with him, Dollar. Now get inside that room.
Pat, both of you. I kind of thought you might be coming over here.
What are you talking about?
After I told you where I was headed. You too, Sergeant.
Sergeant. The police.
That's right. So you'd better drop
Look
that.
Look out! You think you're going to...
Johnny?
Well, thanks, Ed. You too, Pat. Oh, and Ed.
Yeah, Johnny?
Maybe you'd better put a pair of cuffs on Mr. Sprague here. You know, to keep him out of any more trouble.
Oh, I'll go along peaceful.
So the big fat fee that was promised doesn't get paid to me after all. And I'm sure I may as well forget the expense account for a change. But you know something? It doesn't matter. Because the important thing was to have had some small part in wiping out this dirty racket. Me, I feel good. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Our star will return in just a moment. Now, here is our star to tell you about next week's story.
Next week, a man who uses government help to promote his one-man crime wave. Join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, starring Bob Bailey, originates in Hollywood and is written, produced, and directed by Jack Johnstone. Heard in our cast were Virginia Gregg, Edgar Berrier, Junius Matthews, Jerry Hausner, and Lawrence Dobkin. Be sure to join us next week, same time and station, for another exciting story of yours truly, Johnny Dollar. This is Dan Coverley speaking.
Next, the nerve-tingling progress of a man hurled into space from Suspense on the CBS Radio Network.
Citizens of Troy, this is Neil Kelleher, the Republican candidate for mayor of Troy. I'm taking this brief opportunity to tell you that a Republican city administration will restore garbage collection and disposal to an efficient level. The Democratic administration, having burned out the municipal incinerator, has now returned to the ancient system of garbage and refuse disposal by depositing it on an open dump. I shall take steps immediately to restore the incinerator and eliminate the threat of stench and smog that will surely be blanketing the northern section of our city as soon as the refuse piles get deep enough and the underground fires begin to burn. I intend also to eliminate the noisy collection of garbage in residential areas in the middle of the night so that Trojans can get their sleep. If you approve of the foregoing proposal, may I suggest that you can assure it's becoming a reality by voting Row A all the way, Election Day. Thank you.
Johnny Dollar.
John, this is Harry Branson at Philadelphia Mutual Liability and Casualty Insurance Company.
Well, it's about time, Harry. How come I haven't heard from you lately?
Fortunately, we've had no problems recently. That is, nothing requiring investigation.
Until now, huh?
Well, yes.
So what's the trouble? Arson? Mayhem? Murder?
John, it may be all of them. Unless you're able to put a stop to what's going on.
Sounds interesting. Who's involved in all this? And don't tell me you've been selling insurance to some gangster.
Well, as a matter of fact, he is.
What?
An ex-gangster. At least he was known to have been mixed up with gangsters for several years.
Who?
Bertie Larson.
Larson, huh? Well, at least the name sounds appropriate. So tell me what he's... Wait a minute.
Yes, John?
Isn't Bertie Larson the punk they've had before that special investigating committee?
Yes.
The Committee on Narcotics and Gambling, the one that has the hearings on television now and then?
That's the one.
Well, then, Harry, if you want my advice, you'll cancel his policy, pay him off with interest, and forget him.
I'm afraid that's impossible. What's more, since those hearings began, we've increased the face value of some of his policies.
You have what?
Yes. But now, in view of the threats he's been receiving, threats on his life, his home, his family, well, John...
Baby, you're in trouble.
John, do you think you can help us?
And get my head blown off by some gunsel? Harry, this kind of stuff I shouldn't touch with a 10-foot pole.
But don't you see...
In spite of the big fee your company will have to pay me, in addition to my expense account...
Just a minute.
At least it'll guarantee me a decent funeral.
A funeral?
But if that's the way you want it, as long as you're willing to pay through the nose for my services...
But, John, I didn't say... John, that is... Listen to me, John.
Okay, keep your shirt on, Harry. I'll run on down there and see you.
CBS Radio brings you Bob Bailey in the exciting adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account. America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Winston, America's best-selling filter cigarette.
Winston tastes good like a cigarette should.
And now, Act One of yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Expense accounts submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to the Philadelphia Mutual Liability and Casualty Insurance Company. Following is the account of expenses incurred during my investigation of the Larson arson matter. Expense account item 1120 for a train to Philadelphia and a taxi to Philly Mutual's office over on Walnut Street. It was late in the afternoon, but Harry Branson, the perennial worry ward, was still there waiting for me, and he wasted no time in getting down to business.
Now, Bertie Larson, or more properly, Herbert James Larson, lives out in Penfield, John.
Oh, yeah, that's kind of part of West Philadelphia, isn't it, Harry?
Just beyond. He and his wife live in a very nice one-story brick home that we've insured for some $30,000.
And he must have done fairly also, well in the rackets and had sense enough to put some aside.
Also, John, we've insured his personal property, furniture, clothes, all the things in the house and so on, for some $20,000.
No kidding. And didn't you say you've increased some of his insurance lately?
To the figures I just mentioned. In the beginning, he was underinsured, but the policies provided for the increase at his option, provided,
yeah, well,
of course...
Yeah, well, that's all right. You don't need to go into detail.
Provided, of course... that in no event should stipulated coverage exceed actual appraised valuation.
Yeah, well, now, Harry, if you...
In accordance with paragraphs A, B, and G of Article 21 of our standard comprehensive policy...
Harry!
Yes, John. Also, his life is insured with us for $20,000.
Making a total of $70,000.
$70,000, yes.
So if everything goes, including Bertie himself, somebody's liable to collect plenty.
Exactly.
Okay, who's the beneficiary?
His wife, Nora.
I see. And now you say that somebody's been threatening him.
Oh, yes. Ever since he agreed to appear before this investigating committee.
What kind of threats?
Over the telephone, he tells me, warning him that if he continues to testify, well, they haven't directly threatened his life, as I understand it, but they might as well have. And then
Wait a sec, Harry. Haven't the police been in on this?
Oh, yes. Yes, they have. And for a while, they kept some men stationed about his place.
So, naturally, nothing happened.
But last week, John, when he returned from one of the hearings, he phoned me and said that he'd found a can of gasoline standing on his front doorstep.
Just a hint, huh, of what might happen if he doesn't clam up. Yeah, that's an old-style gang warning.
Yes, a very obvious threat to burn up his home.
But he's continued to appear at the hearings?
Yes, and if he's killed off by these people, if his home is burned out from under him...
By what people, Harry? Has he any idea who might be behind this monkey business?
Well, of course. It must be someone who was involved with him in narcotics and illegal gambling at one time or another.
But he doesn't know exactly who.
Not specifically. He says he never recognized the voice on the phone. And, of course, it was probably well disguised.
Yeah. Do you suppose he's still involved in the rackets?
Oh, apparently not, or we'd never have sold him insurance. But then who can be sure? The point is, John, that if anything does happen to him or to that home of his, the company will have to pay out sizable sums of money.
Yeah.
Naturally, we don't want to do that.
No.
And if he can be protected properly, Well, John, that's why I telephoned to you.
Yeah, but Harry, the kind of protection you seem to want for him is something for the police to provide.
John, I am convinced that the protection they are giving Bertie Larson is wholly inadequate.
You told them so?
I most certainly have. But they simply refuse to listen to me. Well, that is why I called you.
Oh, I'm sorry, Harry, but it seems to me that... Well, okay, give me his address. Tell me who the police contact is, and I'll see what I can do for you. I dropped my bags at the Bellevue Stratford. Then, having missed my lunch, I spent item 2, $5.25 for a drink and some early dinner. Item 3, $50 deposit on a rental car, and I headed out through West Philadelphia to the address in Penfield. As Harry had said, it was a nice place, not large, but neat and modern, sitting at the end of a new street. Apparently, there was no one home. I looked around to see if there was a patrolman watching over the place. No one, nothing, and the street itself was deserted. I was just about to swing around and head for police headquarters when I noticed a thin streak of light from one of the rear windows in spite of the drawn shades. Yeah, I suppose I'll learn one of these days not to be so curious. But I walked quietly up the driveway beside the house. And then I heard something. Just a little sound, as though someone had quietly opened or closed a door at the side of the garage in the rear. And I suddenly caught the smell of gas, of raw gasoline. It was coming from the garage. I carefully edged my way on back there, hoping I wouldn't trip over something in the darkness that would give me away. The smell of gasoline was stronger now, much stronger. My next step was into a puddle in front of the garage door. I remember bending over to sniff at it, and it was gasoline, all right. And I remember a flashlight stabbing through the darkness behind me. But as I rose and turned...
Act 2 of yours truly, Johnny Dollar, in a moment. Question, where will you find the leading stars of the entertainment world? Answer, right here on CBS Radio. Gary Moore, Arthur Godfrey, Andy Griffith, Bob and Ray, Art Linkletter, Amos and Andy, and more. The gang's all here. You'll also find the New York Philharmonic and the Metropolitan Opera back on the air. Remember, the star's address, CBS Radio. And now, Act 2 of yours truly, Johnny Dollar and the Larson Arson Matter.
I came to in a hospital room, and I had company. One of them was in a blue uniform with brass buttons with the stripes of a sergeant on his sleeves.
So you decided to come back to the land of the living, huh?
The other was a man of about 40, big, beefy. And in spite of his rather flashy clothes, he looked as though he hadn't shaved his fat, truculent face for a couple of days.
Oh, well, I'm sure glad he's okay, Sergeant. Only, how was I to know he wasn't somebody come to carry out them threats against me?
You know, you're lucky you didn't aim those shots at him, Bertie.
Me actually trying to kill somebody, Sergeant? Like I told you, I know the noise it'd bring on the nearest flatfoot.
Bertie, huh?
Yeah. Gee, Mr. Dollar.
Now, you just take it easy, Dollar. Bertie nearly broke your head when he found you prowling around his home a while ago.
Oh, brother, you're telling me.
But I didn't know, Dollar. I didn't know who you was till me and a cop went through your pockets and seen your identification.
Okay, now look.
And I come home and seen you sneaking around and... that gasoline all over my garage like somebody was going to put a torch to it.
Okay, okay, Bertie.
So you can't blame me for slugging.
Yeah, now, Bertie.
I'm sure sorry I did it, Dollar. Dollar, the hospital bill's on me, so live it up, huh?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Okay, now, Bertie, Dollar's going to be all right, so you go along, huh? I'll check with you later.
Oh, yeah, sure, okay. Oh, I'm going up in the country to make sure my wife's all right.
Up in the country?
Yeah, up in the Catskills with a couple of relatives, Mac and Josie. Oh, you don't think I'd leave her stay around here with those people on the phone saying they're going to burn me out if I don't stop yapping to that committee?
And you don't know who it is making the threats, huh?
I sure wished I did.
Okay, run along now, Bertie.
No, wait, please.
Well, what is it, Doc?
Well, I'd like to talk to Bertie some more.
Sure.
No, not until the medics say you're all right and let you out of here. And besides... I want to talk to you myself. Now, go along, Bertie.
Yeah, sure.
All right, now look, Sergeant.
Just stay flat on the bed, Dollar. And now you're lucky Bertie didn't kill you. And I can't say I would have blamed him. Why didn't you come to me before trying to contact him? I could have given you all the information you need about this case.
Now, look, Sergeant.
Not only have saved you a lot of trouble... that kept you from getting banged on the head.
Okay, okay.
All you private dicks are alike.
Now listen, will you?
As for that nosy guy over at your insurance company who's been bothering me 3 and 4 times a day, well, now I've got 2 of you to keep from upsetting the apple cart.
What's that supposed to mean?
Bertie Larson isn't the man this investigating committee's after.
What?
Of course not. He's strictly small time. And he hasn't even been that since he served a stretch on a burglary arson rap.
What about the narcotics and gambling that's under investigation?
He was never any more than a messenger boy for the big shots.
Well, now, what's the importance of these hearings?
Now, don't you see? If the committee can hold him up as a guy who talks and doesn't get hurt by him, well, it'll help them flush out some of the others. And who knows? Maybe some of his information might have a little value, and he'd be glad to give it.
Yeah? Why?
Bertie's been trying to run a used car business.
Legitimate, or is it cover-up or something else?
Legitimate.
You're sure of that?
Dollar, that stupid punk has been so scared since he got out of the clink. Yep. And listen.
I'm listening.
The publicity that he's been getting from the hearings, you know, because of cooperating with the committee, why, it's practically made a public hero out of him. Who knows? Maybe it'll help his business enough to get him out of the red for once. That's why he's singing like a canary, probably making half of it up just to keep his name in the paper.
Well, what about the threats he's been getting?
You know something? We've only got his word about those threats. For all we know, he's making them up himself.
Maybe.
Oh, all right, all right. So what if some of his old pals are calling him up, telling him to lay off, huh? They try anything foolish, we'll nab him. Matter of fact, there are a few of those guys around here we'd just love to have something on. So maybe all this will flush him out for us.
Or get Bertie killed?
Ask me. I don't think anybody'd even bother to rub him out.
I hope you're right, Sergeant.
Sure, sure. So, Ollie, that's that.
No,
when you're
wait.
Up and around, come on over to the station and see me. But meantime, leave this to me, will you?
Oh, wait a minute, will you? What about that gasoline he mentioned that was spilled all over his garage?
Oh, one of those shots he fired.
And now, look.
And drilled a hole in a can of gas he had lying around.
Yeah?
Sure, saw it there myself.
Look, Sergeant.
See you later, Dolly.
Wait a minute, will you? Sergeant! Sergeant!
Act 3 of yours truly, Johnny Dollar, in a moment. Here's Hollywood star Mona Freeman.
Who feels like acting with a miserable cold? I relieve cold distress the fast way with 4-Way cold tablets.
Yes, tests of all the leading cold tablets proved 4-Way fastest acting. Amazing 4-Way starts in minutes to relieve muscular pains and headache, reduce fever, calm upset stomach, also overcomes irregularity.
When a cold strikes, do what I do. Take 4-Way cold tablets. It's the fast way to relieve nasty cold distress and feel better quickly.
4-Way, only 29 cents.
Now here's a word about another fine product of Grove Laboratories. Had dandruff for years? Now get rid of it in 3 minutes with Fitch Dandruff Remover Shampoo. 3 minutes with Fitch regularly is guaranteed to keep unsightly dandruff away forever. Apply Fitch before wetting hair, rub in 1 minute. Add water, lather 1 minute. Then rinse 1 minute. Every trace of dandruff goes down the drain. 3 minutes with Fitch, embarrassing dandruff's gone. Fitch can also leave hair up to 35% brighter. Get Fitch Dandruff Remover Shampoo today. And now, Act 3 of yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
There was something all wrong about the whole setup. I'd smelled the gasoline around that garage before Bertie Larson had slugged me. And what about the can of gasoline he said was left on his doorstep as a warning? Like somebody'd burn him out if he kept on testifying before the special investigating committee. Were the police overlooking that? And then, suddenly, I began to smell a rat, a big one. Don't ask me why. I climbed rather painfully out of the hospital bed, put on my clothes, and pulled the corny trick of going out by way of the fire escape. Luck was with me. The police had left my rental car in the hospital parking lot. I spent item four, $1.50 in a bar and a grill for a slug of brandy and some hot black coffee. But I was still feeling pretty rocky, so I took my time driving out to Bertie Larson's place again. As I stepped out of the car, I noticed a light coming from an open window at the rear and a big sedan back in front of the garage, the trunk of it wide open. Bertie's? Or the car of someone who'd come to put the torch to his home? I didn't have to wait long for an answer. Bertie.
Huh?
Going up in the country, huh, to see your wife.
Dollar.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, say, listen, now, it's lucky you come by here.
Is it? Lucky for you or for me?
Oh, no, listen, I come by to pick up some things, you know, to haul up to my wife. You know what happens?
Yeah.
When I pulls up in the driveway, there's some guy running away out back. So I yells him to stop, but he keeps on going, and it's so dark I can't see where to throw a shot. And listen.
I'm listening.
Then I smell gasoline. It's coming from inside the house. So I unlock the door and go in, and you know what I find in there?
Go on, Bertie.
Come on. Come on inside, Dolly. I'll show you. Oh, it's lucky I come by here. That's all I gotta say.
Hey, wait a minute. Were you figuring on moving out of here?
Huh? What do you mean?
Well, now, don't tell me this is all the furniture you keep in this place.
Of course not. I sent a lot up to Josie and Mac from while my wife is staying with them.
But if the place burned down, you wouldn't hesitate to collect insurance on all the furnishings, would you?
You're trying to be funny, Dollar. Now, look. Look here in my den. You see? You see where somebody dumped gas all over the rug? Lay them celluloid strips and out over the windowsill so as you could put a match to it from the outside?
Yeah, I see, Bertie.
Well, it's a guy I seen running away from you who was going to burn me out. You see how he broke in by forcing a screen on that window?
I see where this screen was bashed out from the inside.
What'd you say?
And I fail to see any footprints in the flower bed below it. No wonder you served a term for arson, among other things.
Huh? Oh, listen.
I mean the sloppy setup you made here.
What are you talking about?
You've been losing your shirt in the used car business. So it looked like you might have to take a chance in the rackets again.
Are you out of your mind?
But then this investigating committee came along. Talking freely before them gave you an excuse to claim you were getting threats.
Oh, now, listen.
You filled up the insurance on this place to the limit. Then gave out the tale about gasoline left on your doorstep as a warning.
Oh, listen.
All of it. So that when your house went up in flames, everybody would think it was set by the mythical person who was supposed to be making the threats.
You're crazy.
In the meantime, of course, you've carefully emptied the place of anything valuable. In storage with these pals of yours, Josie and Mac, up in the Catskills, if any such people really exist.
Listen.
This home and the garage would probably be nothing but ashes right now if I hadn't come along earlier.
Could have killed you then, Dallas, so
killed
maybe
me.
I better...
I think you were just a lousy shot.
Yeah?
But when all that noise brought the police and you found out who I am, why, sure, you could use me to help build up your case for whenever you decided to fire this place. You thought. But it didn't work, Bertie, because... Oh, no, you don't. Come on, put your hand up. Come on, over your head. Reach, Bertie.
Now, listen.
Can't even pull a gun quickly, can you?
You don't need to, Dallas.
What?
Don't move. I'm right in back of you. Drop the gun.
Kill him. Yeah, Nora, kill him. We'll fire the joint and get up in a country where Josie and Mac will swear we've been with him all the time.
Yeah, Bertie.
Yeah, that's what we'll do. And listen, we'll strip this guy after you knock him off. They'll find his bones after the fire and they'll think it's me. That's another 20 grand of insurance to collect.
No, Bertie.
What?
I'm leaving both of you here.
You gone crazy?
After this nice setup, I'd be crazy if I didn't take all I could get out of it. You ready, Bertie?
Oh, no, listen!
All right, Dolly, now it's you.
Drop it, Nora!
Where'd you come from, you dirty...
Thanks, Sergeant.
Well, that's okay, Dollar. But you can be mighty glad that hospital called me up when they found you'd sneaked out on them.
You know something, Sergeant?
Yeah?
I'm mighty glad. Expense account total, including my hospital bill, my room at the Bellevue, and a couple of meals, plus, of course, the trip back to Hartford, $79.75. Remarks? Why bother? From here on in, it's up to the company and the police to straighten things out. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Our star will return in just a moment.
Constipation can be a problem for anyone, even doctors. And when constipation occurs, It's interesting to see just what doctors consider important about a laxative they might use or recommend. Well, a majority of the doctors we heard from had this to say. A laxative should be effective, gentle, as close to natural acting as possible, and a medicine that can be used with complete confidence. Now, Ex-Lax has been popular with many doctors and millions of people over the years because chocolate at Ex-Lax is effective. Overnight, it helps you toward your normal regularity. Ex-Lax is gentle. Next morning, it gives you the closest thing to natural action. And that's why many doctors and millions of people use Ex-Lax with complete confidence. Ex-Lax, the laxative that helps you toward your normal regularity gently. Overnight.
Is Ex-Lax in your medicine cabinet?
Now here is our star to tell you about next week's story.
Next week, Sarasota, Florida. A body floating in a bayou. And one too many suspects. Join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, starring Bob Bailey, originates in Hollywood and is written, produced, and directed by Jack Johnstone. Heard in our cast were Virginia Gregg, Harry Bartell, Don Diamond, and Bert Holland. Be sure to join us next week, same time and station, for another exciting story of yours truly, Johnny Dollar. This is Dan Cumberly speaking.
Take The Last Trip, a bizarre way to end a romantic triangle, on Suspense, next on the CBS Radio Network.
Hello, my name's Henry J. Mitchell. Mrs. Mitchell and I are standing here on the second deck of this ocean liner, waiting to start our trip around the world. You know, now that the day is finally here, we can hardly wait to get going. Naturally, we started saving toward this day some time ago by investing regularly in United States savings bonds. We felt that by saving with Series E bonds, we were making the wisest, safest investment possible. What's more, our dollars were also helping our country. You see, the money that goes into U.S. savings bonds helps to keep America strong. We all know that peace costs money. Money to help keep the peace through industrial and military strength, and money to make it lasting through science and education. We're mighty proud to do our share in securing the future of our country. Are you doing your part? Start today. Invest regularly in United States savings bonds.
WROW, Radio 59.